Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from, and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
So we're in the midst of this sermon series on Be Still. Understanding that being still is not just stopping the busyness, but is intentionally living into that space and place where you focus on God, where you reconnect in your faith, where that shalom of God, which is about putting the pieces back together, can begin to meet where you are. So the text I want us to consider today, before I bring someone up to introduce to you, is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The very last verse is Samuel's response to Eli. And so those words are, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Say that with me. "Speak, for your servant is listening." I'm going to gesture for you to be able to participate in that, but hear now the text. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Hear now the word of the Lord. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So Samuel went and lay down. And again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of God for you and me, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, I ask that you would bless the conversation and all that experienced in worship this day, that each of us would be able to more clearly hear your call on our lives and respond more fully to the love of Christ. God, we love you. We entrust our lives to you. And now would your spirit stand between this conversation and your people so that each one would hear what they need. Those who are discouraged would find the courage of faith. Those who are fearful would find your strength. Those who need discipline would hear your loving word of guidance. For it is in Christ we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. In December of last year, I got a call from Perkins School of Theology asking if we would consider at Kingwood United Methodist Church an intern from the Perkins School of Theology. So we're blessed that the Perkins Intern Foundation has supplied all the funding necessary. They just needed a location for someone. I said, sure, we'd be open to that conversation. That was in December of last year. And so it is my privilege to introduce to you Deneen Goldsmith, who will be with us starting from 2 weeks ago through the full month of April, first week or so in May. But as Nancy Pinkerton will tell you, when it comes to educational things on paper and what they are in reality, those aren't always the same, right, Nancy? So would you help me welcome Deneen Goldsmith as our intern from the Perkins School of Theology.
Good morning.
It's a joy to welcome you. Say it again. Let them say good morning to you.
I said good morning. Good
morning. So, let's just step right into the very beginning of this. You look at our world today. You look at all of the reasons for brokenness, and I just think God's moving. God was moving all the way back in December. When Chris and I first spoke about this, this big smile got across his face, and he talked about how Chris and Deneen's husband, Stephen, who is here, say, welcome, Stephen. Who is pastor of the Journey of Faith Methodist Church in Humble, had already been in conversation, and our men have already been in conversation about how do we make a witness to the world of what it ought to look like. Just to recognize we're all brothers and sisters in Christ in one race at the foot of the cross. So this is just cool stuff, all right? So that's just a cool thing. Deneen, you've been a preacher's wife for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. So before, we're not going to ask you about the preacher, all right? We're not going to ask about the preacher. But before we talk about your call to ministry, let's get to know you just a little bit better. So why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your family, and then I want to turn to talking about your walk with Christ.
Okay, well, I'm Deneen Goldsmith, and as Pastor B said, I'm married to my pastor. We have two beautiful children, Disney Victoria L., who's 5, and then we have Seth Paul, who's 7. I am originally from Kansas City.
Whoa.
Here we go.
Kansas City. Please don't tell me you cheer for that team called the Chiefs.
All day. All day.
Chiefs. You and Clint are not going to be worth putting
We're
up with.
We're absolutely together. He is my ivory. I'm his ebony.
All right. Okay.
Yes.
Keep going.
And so I went to Kansas University, KU, and then I transferred to Georgia.
Wait. So Kansas, where our current bishop is from?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got good friends.
I do. I come from a great place. And so I am the youngest of 3, and I was born in, what did I just say? I said a lot, didn't I?
What'd you say?
Yeah, what did I say?
You said you're married to the luckiest man in the world.
Absolutely. He's blessed. But no, and so...
And then you went to school in Georgia?
I started off at KU, and then I transferred to Atlanta, Georgia, where I got my undergraduate, my BA in business marketing, and then I met this wonderful man and got married. Yeah, and then he moved me to Chicago, where it was cold.
But now you are in Houston area.
Hallelujah. Yes.
So what was your faith like growing up? When would you say you fully surrendered your life to Christ?
Well, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and I come from a family of preachers. My dad was a preacher, so I'm a PK as well. Both my grandmothers, my maternal and my paternal, were pillars in the church. And so I grew up in the Pentecostal church. And so I've always known, I knew God through them. I didn't know him for myself. And so I would say when I was 17 and I was in Kansas and we had a traveling evangelist. He was from Texas. I don't know where he's from. I don't remember his name. And I remember sitting in service and I was just crying. And I went out to the vestibule and I told my sister and my friends, I said, I want to know God for myself. I said, I'm tired. There was a yearning in my heart and I didn't know how to articulate it. I was 17. Came back in to the service, sat down, and our church was accustomed that you stand for the benediction. So we were still for the benediction. And the evangelist was pronouncing benediction and he stopped and he pointed at me. And he said, you. He said, the Lord told me to tell you that he hears your every cry. And he told me to tell you that he's not just with you, but he's for you. And he told me to tell you that everything is going to be all right. And when I tell you again, I'm in a Pentecostal church. So we had a great time going home. But the celebration, because people around me, they knew I was yearning, I was trying to get to God. And so that was a breakthrough for me. It changed my life. It set my path.
That's a beautiful thing.
It is.
So that's kind of when you sort of just surrender your life. What did it look like for your growing years of faith and your walk with Christ, what were some of those highlights of your walk with Christ until you met this gentleman over here in Atlanta?
Just coming to know God for myself, you know, the journey, the ups and the downs, and understanding that through it all, God is still God. And, you know, I was 21. I was young, and I was on my own in Atlanta. And so I was really searching for God in a greater capacity. And so just really coming to understand him for myself in a personal and an intimate way.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
So the people around your life, sounds like you had some Elis in your life early on to help you know how to respond to God's call.
Absolutely.
So what did it look like between that walk with Christ, you're thinking about ministry? I mean, how did you get from that place to going into ministry? What does that all look like?
Well, I knew I had a calling in my life. I just didn't know how to define it. And so, I'm skipping over a lot to get to this point. So my husband and I, we were in Chicago, and we knew that we needed to leave Chicago. And so around 9:30 at night, he came to me, he said, we're going to Texas, we're going to Houston. And so I said, okay. And so about 9:30 at night, this preacher called and said, hey, I heard you're coming to Houston, and I really want you to come to my church, because at the time he was a musician. And so we said, okay. He got off the phone. He goes, well, we're going to Houston, and we're going to this United Methodist Church. I said, what? Because get it, I'm Pentecostal. So I was like, what? But I knew, and we knew that this was the door. This was it. This was the door that God had opened, and so we came through it. And when I tell you, we said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get to Houston. We're going to figure out the lay of the land, then we're going to find us a Pentecostal church. And that was 14 years ago. So we know that God sent us here for this church and for the United Methodist Church and for the purpose of our ministry. And so watching him develop, then I naturally was like,
Well, talk about a little about him developing. I mean, so, no, it's okay, man. Don't be nervous. When you all first got here, Stephen, you had not yet been a declared candidate for ministry in the United Methodist Church. So you get here, and Stephen starts that journey.
Right, but we get here, and Stephen is a musician for the United Methodist Church. He's playing the keyboard. It was the pastor that told him, you have a calling on your life, sir, and said, you know what? I think we need to talk more about this process. We didn't know nothing about the process. So Stephen actually was the one that led me. Well, watching his journey led me.
So how did it come about for you then to answer a call to ministry? You know, what did that look like?
Well, again, I knew I had a call. I just didn't know how it was going to develop. So I thought that he was going to be the United Methodist Church. And I'm with the United Methodist Church, but I'm still trying to figure my way out. So what I did was I applied to Houston School of Theology, still not understanding what's going on with me. And long story short, I have this conversation with our district superintendent at the time, Kip Giltz. And I tell him, he says, Deneen, I really think you need to get into the process. I was like, no. And he said, yes, you need to get into the process because there's a calling on your life. And he affirmed me. He confirmed. So I said, okay. So then I said, well, I'm already going to Houston School of Theology. No, I'm sorry. I got accepted to Houston School of Theology. He said, scratch it. You're going to Perkins. And I said, I don't want to go to Dallas. And he said, we'll fly you there. And when he said that, I was like, okay, Lord, you're getting my attention. And so from that point on, then me getting into the process, me getting into school has really clarified and defined my ministry in such a great way.
Did Kip follow through on that commitment to fly you?
He didn't have to because the program changed. I tell you, that's how God does. He'll change stuff for you. The program changed the following year to where you don't have to go to Dallas at all. I thought it was a trick. I was like,
Wait. You thought a district superintendent was trying to trick you?
I did. I was
never heard that before.
I thought it was a trick. I was like, no, I don't have to go to Dallas now. One time, he said, not one time. And then I went to informational, and literally, the Lord just said, this is a door. You got to walk through it. And I walked through it. And then that's how I'm able to say, okay, Lord, I'm a preacher. It's been a process.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
So in that process, you had times of being still and times of moving. Times of being still and times of moving. Times of listening and going to the Eli and saying, what am I hearing? What am I hearing? And that's a beautiful thing. And we're so glad that that brings you to us in this journey.
Absolutely.
As you've been in seminary, what has been sort of, you know, like sometimes at dinner table when our kids are growing up, we do high point, low point. You ever do that with your family? Best part of the day, worst part of the day. What would be like a high point in your seminary and a challenging? So how do you, when you look at that?
My high point has been being affirmed. My preaching professor, she affirmed me in such a way by saying, you know, your voice matters. Preach from your context, but understand and bring in other people's context. And then I began to tell her, you know, I said, well, what about those days when I don't want to preach? I don't like it. I don't want to do it. And she said, those are normal days. So she normalized me. She made me feel, she gave voice to my emotions. So that's been a big high point for seminary. My low point, I wouldn't say it's a low point, but it's more so of just really trying to find my groove, is how I talk about God. Because that's the first thing that, you know, they teach you. You know, make sure that you know what you're saying, because somebody's life is on the other end of your conversation. Somebody's life is on the other end of that last word that you're speaking. And so that has been a balance for me. You know, just finding, knowing when to shut up, like now. Mm-hmm. And knowing when to talk.
I don't know, y'all, but I heard a word there, right? Somebody's life, say it again. Someone's life is always, say that again. That's your voice and your words.
Someone's life is hanging on your last word.
I just think that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
It changed my life, absolutely.
You mentioned at the early service that the folks in the church, says you're kind of the preacher's wife is sort of the role you've been filling. And now you become the preacher. So what do folks at Journey of Faith call you? What's your affectionate term?
Lady D.
Lady D. Lady D. But part of this journey will be that you are living into your pastor's voice. And you've had, no doubt, the ministry of the spouse of a pastor is significant. It's just simply as your journey changes, now you're living into claiming that voice. And Deneen's going to be on the deacon track. So some of you remember Ellen, who was with us. So in our tradition, if you are an elder, as Jeremy's on the elder track, that comes with the responsibilities of the sacraments of baptism and communion, but also you are itinerant, so the bishop determines where you go. So you serve as itinerant at the discretion of the bishop. A deacon is a calling to teaching and service, but is not itinerant. The bishop basically fixes the appointment, but it allows a bit more adaptation for the representation of a person who has the educational background with a master's of divinity, upon whom the church has said, we see in you the gifts and graces. So you're Lady D at Journey of Faith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking maybe today we need to start help you hearing something different. Okay. I think it ought to be Pastor D. Y'all like that? Y'all say, welcome, Pastor D.
Welcome, Pastor D.
You've been with us a couple of weeks. First impressions, the last couple of weeks of of this church and what you would say to this community of faith to encourage them, things that they do well, things that you see God revealed in their work?
Hands down, you all are a praying church. I am so impressed with the Zooms that I've been on. I mean, they begin in prayer, they end in prayer. In the middle, there's prayer. And understand where I'm coming from, the Pentecostal church, where that's all you do is pray. And so this feeds me. It feeds my faith. It feeds me and it affirms me. I'm really big about that word affirm, because it continues to affirm me. And so I just want to encourage you all at Kingwood UMC to keep praying, because prayer is a powerful weapon. Prayer changes things. And my thing is for you all to have the clue to the right weapon. It's gonna empower your lives individually and corporately. I love it. I absolutely love it. That's the first thing I told Stephen. I said, they pray. And they call on Jesus. And I love that.
Yes, we do. And we do that a lot. Because we have found that Christ is always faithful.
Yes, he is.
Always faithful. It would be important, I think, to hear from your perspective, what do you think the major challenges are for the church today to be effective in the world? Where do we need to step up in the world?
Well, the obvious, as far as what's going on, the fact that we're living through a pandemic. But let me start off with, I think the church needs to be the voice of reconciliation and the bridge of reconciliation for race relations, for economic disparities, for education reform. But then also, too, just giving voice to what's going on in our world today and go outside the walls of the church. So living through this pandemic, mid and post, the church has to be there to be a healing bridge, to offer grace, because, I mean, we've seen a lot. You know, I think there's never been a time where we've seen so much death, and it's almost being normalized. And so the church has to be that bridge that comes in to offer grace and to explain that God is still in control.
Those are great words.
Thank you.
Great words. So the internship, just to let you know in a practical way, the internship runs through like May the 8th of next year. There's a lay teaching committee that works with Denine. She'll be preaching in the sanctuary. She'll hear her preach in the vine as well. And it's not what we choose to ask Denine to do while she's with us. There is a model and paradigm that exposes her to children's ministry, adult ministry, missional outreach, planning for worship, administrative aspects. So she kind of moves through all those areas to learn ministry. Anything you just want to, what's on your heart to share with us today?
Well, I'll say this. I have themed my internship.
All right.
And this is my personal theme, and I want to share it with you all so that you all will understand how I see you all. And so the theme of my internship from now until May is New Lens, Same God.
Say it again.
New Lens, Same God. And so what does that say? God is taking me on a journey to see. I'm seeing him through a new lens, through you all. But it is so awesome and encouraging and empowering to know that he's the same God. And so I would encourage you all to see the same thing through me. See him through a new lens when you see me, but know that he's the same God. And my thing is, let's just do this journey. Help me, because I need you.
Denine, we're glad Amen. You're with us. We're glad you're with
I'm
us.
I'm glad to be here.
But I wouldn't want you to feel slighted, so as was the way in which we welcomed Jeremy, we created a list from the staff with some assistance from children at times, a list of either ors to get to know you better.
Okay.
Tacos or lasagna?
Tacos.
Beach or lake?
Beach.
Of course, you're Methodist. I don't know if the Pentecostals did this, but glazed donut or cake donut?
Glaze?
Dogs or cats?
Neither.
Pancakes or waffles?
Waffles.
Movie or book?
I said movie in the first service, but book.
There you go. A little bit of St. Paul. You're going to be all things to all people. Right?
All things to all people.
The first one's easy. Astros or Rangers?
Astros.
Second one's a little more delicate. Mm-hmm. Texans or Cowboys?
Texans.
Good girl.
Yes.
Yeah, that's like wearing a mask in the world today. Half the people like that answer and half of them don't. Didn't give this to you earlier, but Matt, here's a tip of the hat to you. Golf or football?
Football. Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you who gave this next one. This is from Gladden Lawrence. All right. Crawfish or swordfish? That's from Gladden. You're going to get to know him better.
Crawfish.
Crawfish? All right. Staying up late or getting up early?
One of them is my reality. The other one is my dream. My dream is to get up early. Although I do get up early because I have children that are young. But my reality is that I stay up way too late. Like, way late.
You know, we forgot to mention, this is, I mean, you already knew KUMC.
Yes.
Tell that story real quick to these folks about how you guys got connected with KUMC long before the December phone call.
Okay. Really quick, we lived in Pearland, and so my husband got a call that he was going to pastor a church in Humble. And really quick, my oldest son, he was 4 years old, and so I needed a pre-K. We were sitting in the meeting with our new church, and they asked me, did I have any questions? And I was like, I need a pre-K for my son. And they were like, just go to Kingwood. I had never heard of Kingwood. I was like, okay. But it was mid. I was after the deadline. So I was really nervous, and I called Miss Rissa, and I was like, please, whatever you do, can you please let me in? Please, please let me in. So she called me back, and so she was like, I got one spot for him, and I wanted him to go all day, but she only had a part-time. I said, I'll take it. And so my son went here to SLC, and then my daughter came the following year.
It's amazing, isn't it? God was working all the way back then.
Yes.
This one from Alexa, pizza or hamburger?
Hamburger.
This one's just, this is like a softball pitch, Bluebell or Breyers. I don't know who submitted that one.
Bluebell,
that's just automatic.
Yeah.
This one comes from some in the music department because there's a little bit of a debate with Matt Robinson. I'm not supposed to mention him by name, too late. Mm-hmm. Boneless chicken wings or bone-in?
Bone-in.
Bone-in, okay. Because a boneless chicken wing is a nugget.
It really is.
All right, just make sure you
understand. This is a dressed-up nugget.
Whataburger or Chick-fil-A?
Whataburger.
Whataburger.
I told you I love burgers.
Yeah, you love burgers. You love burgers. That's a little bit about Deneen. Now, look, you've overheard. Fred Craddock once said that people oftentimes become overhears of the gospel. We wanted you not just to get to know who Deneen is and know how she's going to connect with KMC, but I hope that you overheard the gospel today. And we want to stay true to our theme of being still in the midst of this. So here are three specific questions I want you to think about this week. This will be coming up on your screens at home, and you can see them there. The first question is, I want to ask you, where is your walk with Christ? Where is your walk with Christ? How many times when we walk past somebody and we say, how you doing? What's that automatic response? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. It's good. And the reality is, that's a superficial thing because you don't want to get engaged in the conversation when below the surface, things are really struggling or things are really hurting. Where is your walk with Christ? Where have you been able to listen and hear what Christ is calling you to do? Can you say those words, speak? Your service listening.